Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Too Hot to Handle Wrap Up. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I have a very, very fun panel for you guys today. So first of all, I'm going to bring in, she's the better version of me, the funnier, smarter, incredible, Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
First of all, how dare you? None of that's true. Second of all, I just may leave this podcast halfway through with very little explanation, just because I'm not showing any growth whatsoever.
I mean, same, honestly. Next up, we have the beautiful, wonderful Angela Bloom. Angela, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Yes, I also may leave, but not because I choose to, but because I am rude.
Okay, perfect. And I figured that we would have to round out the coverage of this show with someone who used to be a man whore. So welcome to the podcast, Mike Bloom.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring me on for my my masculinity as honed in by Diva, the heart warrior guru. I thrust a sword through a poster and everything in anticipation for this podcast.
I'm going to need the footage of that, Mike.
I'm going to need the receipts.
And Angela's like, I can't believe you wasted your time in that way. How dare you?
It's quarantine. We've been wasting our time doing much worse things.
We have not wasted our time. We have no time. What is time?
I don't know. Does the clock start with a 12:01? We can't tell.
It's hard to say.
It's practically impossible. Okay, so before we jump into these two episodes, thought it would be fun to get everybody's, you know, thoughts on this season so far, the people they like and don't like. Haley, do you have any like burning thoughts on the first four episodes?
I'm just having a great time watching the show. I didn't think I would. I don't know why. I love trash television. This is perfect. It basically takes everything I love about Love Island and just like condenses it so I don't have to watch 45 episodes. Who do I like? I think I might marry Kells. I love him deeply from the girl's side. God, we haven't seen a lot from her, and maybe that's why I like her, but I really love Nicole. And I'm a
So she's your favorite because she's been so absent that like
her
she hasn't
yeah,
done anything
exactly.
bad.
And I love
And her accent is amazing.
And I really love Chloe. So the Brits just do it for me. The Brits and the Irish do it for me. Sorry, Irish.
Yeah, anyone from the UK.
Well, Ireland's not in the UK.
Oh, my goodness. Mike, can't believe you exposed yourself like that.
They are Anglo, I would say. Like Anglo-Saxon, but that's where it stops. Pretty
they would be very upset if you lump them in.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Talked about who I hate yet.
Who do you hate?
So I really hated Matt when he first came in, but then Bryce came in and I hated him more. And I almost forgot about how much I hated Matt because I hated Bryce so much. Haley was
similar.
So bland that I couldn't like bring myself to hate her because she just didn't do it for me.
Interesting. Is there a little bit of like acrimony there because she has not only the same name as you, but the exact same spelling?
No, I love seeing my name spelt correctly represented because it happens so infrequently, even in my own birthday cards from my family members.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. Mike, is there anyone who like really stood out to you so far or any specific plot point that you're dying to address?
Ooh, I mean, the Anglos, as Haley said, they've got it going on. No, I love Chloe as well. Chloe reminds me a lot of Ashley from The Challenge, just a British version of like someone who is very quippy, but also like acknowledges the fact that they're completely trashy. I mean, we're going to get into these two episodes where like she's just throwing money out of the pot by kissing guys to be like, I want to test things out. You know, I want to see.
Yeah,
if there's...
she like doesn't realize what show she's on.
I personally liked Matthew because of the young Coach Wade vibes. And he was bleeding Coach Wade all the way until he ended up leaving the house, which is very much like the martyr approach, right? The honor and integrity of it all. I'm trying to think about, I mean, Bryce was just ridiculous.
He's like a cartoon. Yeah, Bryce was like a total cartoon. So I didn't really hate him. But I don't know. You didn't hate him either, I don't think.
Yeah, the thing about this show is that it's sort of like the way that I take in a lot of MTV shows, which is like if you divest any rooting interest in these people, that's probably the best way to enjoy it because everyone's going to do at least one thing to piss you off, and it's going to make you feel bad about supporting them in the first place. I'm really excited about the show because I feel like it is like almost a referendum on all the stuff we love about this type of reality TV of like, listen, we know we love watching everybody hook up and have all this flagrant, wild, unprotected sex, but now we're going to charge you money to do so. And I mean, we found out the price for sex, which is pretty darn steep. So I don't know exactly what they were expecting of these people, how much they were expected to earn coming out of this season. But I do love it as sort of like a meta way to look at all these shows that have existed basically since the beginning of time. And now they're sort of being turned on its head for the purpose of, quote unquote, like self-growth, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, I just don't. If people are boring, then those are the ones I don't like.
Unless they have an Irish accent.
Right. Unless they have an Irish accent. But I'm like rooting for her more than that I like her.
Yeah, Nicole has just like such a beautiful accent and also like the most gorgeous curly hair.
Oh my God, yeah. And she straightens it all the time. I thought there were two different people at first.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, are there two random women here? Because one has straight hair and one has curly hair and they both sort of sound the same.
I was like, nope, they're the same.
I will also say I've been meh on Kells as of late. Maybe it's because the Francesca drama has died down, but like, I think as a bit
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. You mean the accountant?
Yes, sorry, the accountant, Kells. Let me define him by his made-up job description. I think just, like, he's a little, like, hoity-toity for me, a little bit judgmental of some of the stuff that these people are doing.
They
like, he's always the person
to
go
judged.
To.
Yeah, but, like, does he deserve to judge
yes.
anybody?
Yes, yes, he does. He's earned it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's this one moment in the first episode five when he's like, all right, Harry, like, I'm fine with you now because, you know what, like, you had the first leg and you lost and I had the second leg and I won, when like even the announcer made clear like, no, she broke up with you. That's not winning the leg.
Also, just like, let's not refer to them as legs. Like,
yeah, like let's this not King Solomon splitter yeah. down the middle.
Ew, no. My gross. The other thing, too, is so after episodes 3 and 4, I was feeling super pro Kells. And then I had a conversation with the great Brian Scally, and he was like, yeah, that alpha stuff at the start just really like turned me off totally. Of him. And then I remembered that Kells referred to himself as an alpha, and I was like, ugh, gross. So I'm a little bit soured on him compared to last time, but that's fine. I don't think any of these people deserve to judge each other. One thing to talk about right off the top. So a lot of people ask like, oh my God, what was that $16,000? What is this? And
right.
I think I figured out how they charge Ooh. On this show.
Oh, I was going to say, are you going to play Mad Libs and try to fill in the bleeps
no,
that Lana was talking about?
If I had been like a smarter person or loved myself even less than I already do, I would have done that. But I love myself too much for that today. So here's what I'm thinking. I think that you just get charged for like the worst thing that you do or the thing that's worth the most money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like so, the highest value is, yeah. And they're not going to multiple charge you. Because like if they charge for every kiss, they would be out of money by now. Like during that
Yeah, during
night.
That night in the suite or whatever they call it.
Unless they're just like no kissing, having sex like hookers. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's the case, because obviously we see like in the second episode when Harry and Francesca go, they're like making out immediately. And so right. I'm pretty sure that that's just what they do. So I think that.
So what is worth $16,000 is my question.
I'm assuming oral.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, if we're charging like roughly by, I don't know, the bases. You know, like if home base was 20K, I could see like 16K being third base.
Yeah, round it to 16 instead of 15. Lana.
Yeah, and then maybe like 10K would be like the quote heavy petting.
Yeah.
As Lana said in the first episode.
Exactly. And so I think that that's kind of how they do it, because I saw a lot of people were really confused about what could possibly have added up to 16,000 out of that. And yeah. I think that after
doing hit the math.
Exactly. Yeah. People really wanted like, OK, we have the itemized receipt. We need to like figure out what each item is worth. And I don't want to do that. And so I'm pretty sure that they don't really want to do that either. So I think they just charge for like the most that someone does. So now I'm like, Sharon and Rhonda should have just had sex.
Yeah. Well, what did you make of that? Because, like, they have this whole moment. We have the hashtag Sharana, which, Bryce, please stop trying to make hashtags happen. It's very clear he only came up with Sharana so he could suggest blowy, which might cost $60,000 by just mentioning the word blowy. But they come out of it and they're like, oh, we didn't have sex. And then they find out, like, they basically did everything but have sex.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we're so proud of you guys. Like, yeah. Rhonda was telling them that they didn't have sex, and the girls were like, that's really great. I'm so proud of you. You're like, that's amazing that you held out. And she was like, well, not really.
Yeah. And they also show, like, Rhonda and Sharon before they actually leave what I'm calling the hideaway because of my Love Island bias. And Sharon is like, wow, like, screw money. We owe Lana money. And Rhonda's like, you know what? I'm not even thinking about the money. Like, I just want to do what feels right with you in this moment. And Sharon does, I have to point out the things that he does that are traumatizing, because when I notice them, I need everyone to notice them. He calls his genitalia Woody Woodpecker.
Woody Woodpecker. Yeah.
Mike, you're grounded.
He's somebody that, like, I definitely, if you asked me who I, like, least liked in the cast, I would pick him. Like, he comes across to me as, like, just super playing the game. You know, his whole, now I'm going to get in touch with my feelings and get to know Rhonda. Like, when she, like, it's such a childish behavior. And then they get the bracelets, and that's when he decides to open up. Like, okay, Sharon.
I'm just confused what size is he trying to put into our mind here? Because I feel like if you're comparing a woodpecker to an air freshener can,
they different.
There's a different size there. And I also don't feel like you want to compare it to a living creature, let alone a cartoon one.
So my suspicion is that he just, like, maybe has named his penis Woody Woodpecker.
It's like the action, not the thing. Like, the fact that it's, like, hard and
I'm upset. Pain.
And I'm also a little.
Is that the optimal bird that you want to name it after?
Let's move on.
Yeah, anyways, so Haley, how did you feel about Sharon and Rhonda's little getaway?
I get it, but, like, I would be so pissed if I was everyone else that they lost so much money. Honestly, like, I don't know. I could easily last that long without any touching of any sort for my part of 100K, so I'd be mad that somebody else couldn't. I don't know.
I mean, Haley, you know this is a special crop of people when not one but two guys have the exact same thought in separate places that they're going to have sex with a wall if they don't get released sometime soon.
See, like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around something like that. Gosh, I honestly, you know what my thing is also, 100K split between what is there now, like 12 people, is
They're at this point, it's might as well just go, you know, go
it's like, what's the point? You guys aren't leaving with much money anyway. You had a great free trip to Mexico, call it a wash.
I think that's Chloe's attitude for sure, because she's like, nah, I think at this point I'd rather just, like, meet some cute guys.
Yeah, like, have a better chance of leaving with a guy than leaving with actual money.
I don't even think she wants to leave with a guy. I think she just wants to, like, get with some
cute
guys.
She wants to leave with a geezer.
Yeah, she wants a geezer.
We also got a lot of questions from people wanting us to explain the difference with regards to the term geezer in the UK versus here. Haley, do you want to give us some British slang knowledge here?
Gosh, I wish I could, but I'm not sure about the geezer one.
Yeah, but I think for, you know, like, how the word gangsta here is considered in some circles to mean, like, oh, yeah, he's a straight up gangster. Like, that's who I, like, want to get with. Like, it's a slang term, geezer, meant to be like, yeah, like, you know, like, it's like a sneaky guy. Like, he's like, he's cool. He's like a tomcat, you know?
Yeah. Wiktionary defines it as someone affable, but morally dubious, a wide boy.
Yeah.
That's Sharon to a T.
A wide boy.
Yeah, I don't know about that part, but I do think it's like, oh, he's a geezer, and it's like, he's, like, cool and,
like, a bit of a player.
A bit of a falafel boy, as Puya would say.
Yes, a bit of a falafel boy, a bit of a geezer, straight up gangsta.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, so just so yeah, to clarify for non-British listeners, Chloe does not want an old man to walk off with. She's not looking for the most like decrepit geriatric guy to hobble into the villa.
That, and then the term banter comes up a lot, I think.
Yes, banter also comes up a lot, you know, having good bants, and it's just, you know, quick-witted conversation between two people. Not necessarily quick-witted if you're Corey and Chloe, but in theory, like clever.
Yeah, I would say like quick-witted, it's more so like the...
You get along.
At the speed of like a fifth grade field day of like little kids running where it's not going like to beat
you
Usain Bolt, but it's okay.
Yeah, and I think it really comes to who you're talking to at that point as well. Like,
for sure.
Some people just might not have it with everyone. Chemistry is a big aspect there.
I will say, though, that conversation, I think it was in like the women's dressing room where Chloe was talking about the different, like she was just like, I want a geezer and me and so-and-so have good bants. And she just kept saying like bants over and over again. I got confused. So the question's valid.
So then the question is, how much more confused were the people in the room at the time? Was Francesca, for example, like,
Why Haley left?
Did she just not want to be rude and was like, okay, I'll just like pretend I know what she's saying.
Yeah. Haley didn't even actually, you know, leave because of a lack of growth. She couldn't grow because she was so confused all the time by all the different types of slang.
She's so dumb.
I know. And I do have to say up top that I stopped standing Haley.
Yeah. When I was listening to you, I was like, you're not going to be standing her in a minute.
I know. I was obsessed. I found her so entertaining. And then when she's like, ugh, I don't even care. I don't even care about anyone. Like, all these people suck. Blah, blah. I was like, wow, someone is sour that they just didn't connect with anyone. And I was over it. And so that I do have to publicly announce I'm not standing Haley any longer.
Yeah. Disavow. Well, that's the thing is that like I feel like snarkiness in reality TV, it's a super thin line where like it's fun to, you know, be a little shady towards your competitors. But you also as a contestant, like we want to see you, if not enjoying yourself, at least like invested in stuff.
Yeah,
and I think Haley had one side, but not the other. She had like the Courtney Yates, like, yeah, I'm going to shade people.
No, she did not because she's too dumb to like make it entertaining.
And
like,
she's
Courtney
also
Yates is clever,
yeah,
so
like
it's
bland.
Fun. Where the way Haley was doing it, it was just like, oh, you're just like not a fun person to be around. And I think that was clear the next day after she left when all the guys were like, oh, like it just feels so light in here. So like light and airy and positive.
Well, and like,
it's just a bummer.
I just feel like in the first few episodes, she just came across as like, so dumb that it was actually kind of funny. And then
her
obsession
with
Francesca was like kind of interesting. And then when she like kissing someone so that the people that you're mad at lose $3,000, that I can get behind. But then just being like,
funny.
I don't care about anybody. I can't get behind that. It's just annoying. So thankfully she's gone.
I forget if you talked about this in your last podcast. Do we think that we're going to see any more interrogations via Lana from here on out, or do you think the fact that you could just easily ask her what actually happened like is a disincentivizes people from actually lying about stuff?
Well, so the situation is like in both of the reveals in this episode, it told exactly who did it and gave like an itemized receipt. So I think that since I figured out they could just ask, Lana's just going to tell them who, you know, broke the rules.
And I'm wondering if they thought like, oh, Lana giving this itemized receipt will like make them not want to do these things or like give them a reason not to do these things or at least like come up with better strategy on how to hide it. I don't know. But like it didn't work. Clearly, Harry and Francesca just like did not care.
They cared for like about a half of the episode.
They pretended to care until they got into the actual room. And then they were like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
We're alone. OK.
Yeah. But I do feel like in retrospect, from like a producing perspective, maybe it was a bit like it produced a fun thing in the moment when you had Inspector Clouseau Matthew.
Yeah.
Like asking Lana what happened. But I do think in retrospect, having Lana be super specific kind of removes some of the drama. Like if Lana just has that part of the daily announcements, like, the rules have been broken, like a pair has kissed, therefore $3,000 will be removed from the pot. That's a lot more fun in terms of breeding paranoia, drama and conflict than these two specific people did, because otherwise that's just like either public shame or, to Angela's point, they just don't care at that point.
Exactly. So moving past the Lana of it all for a second, we do have the moment where Chloe realizes that she wants to break up with Bryce, though she's not going to do it for another full episode. And then a lot of talk from everyone about how they're having weird dreams and waking up excited.
Is this where David talks in his sleep?
No, that's the next episode.
No, not
because that was amazing. That was quality television.
Yeah, that was incredible. And I want to see more sleep talking on my reality TV for one.
I'll just get Ethan to start recording when I sleep talk and just send it to you.
I said the same thing. That's incredible. Like, when I get really, really tired or I'm like in a group like sleepover setting or whatever, I would talk. Like I would definitely have very like vivid conversations with the wall.
Yeah.
Hopefully not other things with the wall.
See, yeah, definitely not other things with the wall.
Oh my goodness. I should hope not. I don't really know how that would work. So
yeah,
I have kind of the same thing where I at least used to talk in my sleep, and it used to always be a really big fight with my ex because I'd wake up and he'd be like, oh, you were talking last night. And I'd be like, oh, what did I say? Oh my God. And he'd be like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, then why are you telling me it happened if you don't know? Like, what's wrong with you?
And my problem is I remember talking. Like, I'm like, must be like partially awake.
You become like super paranoid, like Patriot Act Angela, where you're like, is that a camera in the corner?
I think there's like cameras in the wall or like bugs are falling from the ceiling. It's like all very scary.
But I do it as well. And there was one time.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
There was one time that what did I yelled just in the like screamed Reggie.
Yeah, he just yelled the name Reggie. He was like, Reggie.
But I like screamed it at the top of my lungs.
Scared the crap out of
like
me.
Like he fell off a cliff or something. And then I started talking to Wolverine, I think.
Yeah, he said, it's okay, Wolverine. Like, it'll be fine. Like, he would have like very funny conversations in his sleep.
That is hilarious. The only one I know about that I said is when I was talking about all the different flavors of ice cream. One night, and that's the only thing that my ex ever remembered. So
we had a friend in college who, not to go too far off this tangent, but we had a friend in college, we all stayed up studying one night and he fell asleep and he started reciting the preamble to the Constitution. And it was amazing.
Oh my God.
Wild.
Yeah, I feel like this needs its own like psychological study, you know, of like, because it's less in this case about like, what do you dream about? And more so like, what is so at the forefront of your mind that you like need to speak about?
Apparently
it?
Bugs and cameras. So.
Bugs and cameras. For me, it's meeting an X-Man.
Yeah. And for me, it's ice cream. So adds up.
I one Standard. Time was no, wait, talking were about you... a trade that the LA Dodgers was going to make that they didn't make until about 3 years later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait, so you predicted
it? I didn't predict it. I was just like talking in my sleep about Josh Jock Peterson getting traded from the Dodgers. And Ethan was like, Is this actually real? And then it ended up not being real, but he did eventually get traded. So,
yeah. So that's you funny. Predicted it. So you're psychic in your sleep. That's incredible.
So can you tell us what happens next in this episode?
Yes. back
so
to it.
To sleep,
okay,
Ellie.
Angela. Okay.
I'm
so.
Just kidding. It's just like very easy. Very easy.
Yeah. Was Bryce one of the ones having the freaky deaky dreams?
Yeah, he brings up, and then that's when he says the blowy thing. I think this is why. No, this isn't why. At some point, he calls his penis Big Guy, and I wrote, you wish, next to it.
Ew.
But I guess
that's what my dad calls me.
Ew.
Wait, does he?
Like it's like a father-son thing. Like,
I don't think your dad calls you that.
He used to.
Okay.
Well, thank God.
He used to Now he calls me Woody Woodpecker, so now it's even more awkward.
God.
Full circle, wow. So one thing that I thought was really cute is when they leave the hideaway, Rhonda's wearing Sharon's shirt, and it looks way better on her, to be honest.
Oh my God, completely. Well, because it's also, first it's leopard print, which I feel like is just a more of a naturally like feminine pattern. And she also, doesn't she put the belt on it as well
yeah,
to make it look seem less baggy?
Yeah, she has it
dress.
Belted
dress.
With her bathing suit underneath. It looks super cute. Leopard print is, of course, a neutral in the year of 2020. Everyone should know that, obviously. And then, so this is where they do the, like, summer nights, like, where the Rhonda's telling the women what happened.
That's an amazing comparison,
and,
yes.
And they do it both times. And then Sharonda's telling the boys, and, oh, this is where Bryce says, calm down, Big Guy, because he's saying he's getting aroused from Sharon describing what happened.
Mm. I'm pretty sure that happened in Greece too, right? That was Kaniki just sort of grinding on the bleachers.
You know, probably. Yeah, that show has a lot of problems.
Yeah, he probably had sex with the bleacher.
Just look at the background. I love that comparison though of Charon's, like Sharonda Nights, like Summer Nights.
Exactly. And this is where I really like everyone is all like, oh, you guys are a good example to us, even though they just did everything except for sex. So then we get the Lana ceremony where we get the itemized list, which was kissing, inappropriate touching of bleep, constant use of bleep in bleep, not to mention the bleep, total loss of 16,000. And everyone is pretty livid.
Yeah, they're all laughing. And then all of a sudden she says it and they all just like fall, like their faces are just like, oh.
Can we talk about the bleeping choice though? Because like they've said the F word before. Was this just a comic choice, or do you think there was some sort of like standards and practices involved from Netflix so that they couldn't say actual like genitalia terms?
Yeah, then why would they like have Lana, their like pre-recorded voice, say it, you know? So I feel like it was a comedy thing.
Yeah, I think it was for jokes because Lana has really good bants.
I mean, listen, Matthew might have gone home with Lana at the end of this. Maybe it's like a Her situation where like he wants to find the woman who voiced Lana and realize that that's his one true love.
That's traumatizing. So, Haley, how did you feel about your man, Kels, being so upset about this bill?
I think it's hilarious. I really do. I'm sorry. You guys don't think it's just funny? Like, I don't know.
No, I definitely think it's like, funny that he keeps getting
so
mad
riled
about
up about it. And it just makes me laugh.
His face just is like so, like he has like such a good pouty face.
You know what? He reminds me of like a sitcom dad. Yeah. Like, his kids will like get up to so much trouble and be like, God, these kids.
It's like another $16,000 bill. Oh my goodness. That's true. So at this point, their love was $78,000 split between like 11 people. And Harry's like, that's a lot of money.
Good job, Harris.
Like, that's his, they just had to bring Harry back into the episode because him and Francesca are about to kind of take everything over for the most part.
Complete turnaround.
Sort of with some kills involved for a little bit of like machismo showdown using lion analogies.
Yeah, there's like a private conversation of Harry venting to Charon about Kels and then Kels venting to Bryce about Harry. And Kels is basically like, I'm king of the jungle. And Harry's like, I'm going to confront him. And so they do have that confrontation. And Kels is like, I'm not trying to sound condescending, but we're not in the same league.
I mean, it is true. I would agree with that. They're definitely separate leagues. Whether or not one is higher than the others, can, you know,
but they're both like little league, you know, like neither one of these are like terrifically appealing men. It's just sort of like any port in a storm at this point, though they should be avoiding ports altogether, apparently.
My goodness. And this is where Harry also calls himself an alpha, which is really
cute.
Really, he's definitely not.
Disgusting. Yeah, he's certainly not, but he's very like aggro in these two episodes. And so I think that's what he thinks it means to be like a leader. And then we get Francesca asking Rhonda for advice because now that Rhonda and Charon have found happiness.
She knows everything about love.
Exactly. Like, well, hey, you lied to us about all the oral you got.
Also
please
just
tell me how to love this boy.
Rhonda is far and away the smartest person in the house. Think it is.
It's true. Except maybe David.
Even then. But I think it's a good call for Francesca to talk to Rhonda because I think Rhonda actually did give her some pretty great advice and didn't try and beat around the bush with anything. So I appreciated Rhonda's sentiments here.
Yeah, it was really good that she told Francesca to share her feelings first, that she can figure it out kind of on her own. I really liked how Fran was concerned that Harry would think she is a floozy.
Yeah,
because that's definitely a term we still use.
Well, it's 100 years since the 20s. I feel like we can bring certain terms back. We can use floozy one more time.
Also, aren't they all floozies? Isn't this just a cast of floozies?
Yeah, couldn't this be called Floozy Island?
It doesn't really roll off the tongue quite so much, but
Maybe. I mean, Too Hot to Handle is a little, I don't know, maybe it's because it's coming out and like, it came out right a couple months after Love is Blind, but I cannot think of any person who has not confused the names of these two shows at least once.
Ethan keeps calling Listen to Your Heart Love is Blind.
I couldn't remember the title of this show for a while. I was like, can you put on the, what is it?
See, if it was called Floozy Island, it'd be, you know, be top of mind.
I wonder if they couldn't also use Island, like if there's some copyright claims there.
That's true. That is true.
What about like No Penetrate Peninsula?
I gotta go. You're fired. Get out.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll be continuing this podcast without Michael. That's
ladies only.
It's girls night now.
He won't leave. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's fine. So this is when we get Bryce and Chloe have their conversation and ultimately their kiss, where Bryce is nervous because Chloe is too beautiful for him, which is true. And then Chloe is like, you're not what I'm used to because you're proper classy.
I think it's honestly because he's affiliated with a boat. That's the only thing that emanates classiness, in my opinion.
Oh, God.
Maybe the fact that he drinks Moscow Mules.
I mean, but I think they're all just drinking out of the copper.
I think so at this point.
So I don't know if they're if every time we see them with a cup, it's actually a Moscow Mule. Like, I'm pretty jealous of
impressed.
That.
Yeah, I would be impressed, too, that they had that sort of patience to make a drink.
That's it's a mixed drink. It's not just, you know, one thing.
Quality podcasting over here.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know. This is a lot of Too Hot to Handle in a week for me, okay?
Is it too much to handle?
Great. You're doing great.
No, it's fine. Thank you for the reassurance, though. So then they kiss, and Chloe's like, oh, I don't know if we have a spark, which is the second time she said this, but still is not going to act on it for a while.
It's a little, and look, we can make fun all we want to about Bryce the doofus, but I do feel kind of bad that, like, she told us before she told him, you know, that we found out first that, and he probably has this, like, he's still shipping Blowy at this point. He just got a kiss, and he does not realize that she does not return the favor.
Yeah, he's very focused on how he hasn't exploded in so long, and she's focused on, do we have a spark or not? This is where we then get Lana's workshop, which Mike keyed up at the start of this with the Heart Warrior. Haley, do you know what a Heart Warrior is?
No, nor do I want to.
Yeah, the whole, like, is this where they put the mud on themselves?
Yeah, I mean, listen, guys, I think this is, like, at least a 75% guarantee. They found some guy through Central Casting. They said, come up with a few weird activities. We're going to send you a bunch of guys and just keep them busy for like a few hours and have them do like semi like homoerotic activities and then have them do arts and crafts for a little while. Like, I do not think a Heart Warrior guru. It's understandable why Haley hasn't heard of one because I don't think it's a thing. It can't be a thing unless it's like a Chris from Big Brother Canada 8. Like, I made up this career. So it's the first thing I think of when you search for me.
I'm Googling Heart Warrior right now.
Literally same.
I need to know.
That makes not me.
Okay, but if you have to put in the guru because Heart Warrior just comes up with, like, I think that's more like...
Ooh, Heart of the Ghetto by Guru Warrior on Spotify. I think we found him.
No, but I think if you put in Heart Warrior, it's like...
It's like people who've had like heart disease and stuff.
Like heart disease. They're like survivors.
I mean, who's to say that guy is not them? You know, he's trying to do some cardiovascular activity to get the heart going.
Yeah, no, it's not a thing.
Yeah, no, it is. It's certainly not a thing. So that's fun. It is very much Chris from BB Can It with brain transformation. They honestly should have gotten him for this so that all of them would stop wanting sex so much. Basically what I got from this is they cover themselves in mud and they all yell and then they write down the things that are holding them back and then they destroy it. Did I miss anything?
I mean, I love the fact that Deva starts off by being like, We all have something in common. We're all from the plane of Earth. And from there, you're like, all right, I think I'm so in for where this is going. Because when you start defining things by the plane in which we all exist, you're just thinking fourth dimensionally.
The plane of Earth. Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that's like they're all, you know, children of God or whatever.
And also, I loved everyone sort of interpretation of things. You know, this was like a big highlight of the circle, right? Was doing arts and crafts, and nobody was on the level of Joey with the cake. But I do like things like, for example, Bryce being afraid of the future, so he drew a clock that may be misnumbered.
I mean, I think that if anyone should be afraid of the future, it is certainly Bryce.
Yes, agreed.
Because I don't think it's going to be kind to him.
No.
Yeah, and so when they destroy the papers, they do it with a spear. And I just don't understand why they didn't rip it up.
Because the spear is like, so here's the thing. Via my Google search just now, I think that D.Va the Heart Warrior Guru is meant to be D.Va who has like the heart of a warrior. Because, because there is a retreat on retreat.guru. Camp Detox, Heart of a Warrior Retreat.
So they just missed a few words in between.
Because, like, the spears, to me, it's, like, very tribal, is what I'm getting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
which doesn't make sense from a cultural perspective, because they're, like, they're not on an island, right? They're in Mexico.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, this, I mean, this is all trash.
I feel like they're not that far from the Bachelor in Paradise commune.
Probably not, no.
Are they borrowed Maybe. Wells?
Are they in Tulum?
Oh, that would explain all the Moscow mules. Wells is just bored.
Possibly.
Hilarious.
But yeah, so I think my favorite part of the weird lancing that they do all of medieval times is I think D.Va yells like this objectified non-truth. Like he does this weird speech to pump them up, but he's using these weird words to describe
it. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's not Braveheart.
Well, they tried to make us believe that it was. So once that's over, all of the men go to wash the mud off in the ocean while the women watch.
Very homoerotic.
Yeah, very, very much so. And this is when the women are all like super attracted to them. And I think it's like in the BBC Pride and Prejudice when Darcy like pours the water on himself. I think there's just like something that a woman can't resist about a man covered in water. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, I think it's like, have you guys ever seen the movie? This is like very, very deep pull, but George of the Jungle.
I have the VHS of that in my apartment right now? Yes.
Do you know when he's like running with the horses? I think it's like that. You know, it's like a man in nature. It just shows that
he's connected
primal.
Connected to the plane of Earth.
He's like sensitive. He's primal.
I'm going to use that forever. Connected to the plane of Earth.
Like, I think if you want to really drive anyone away, like if you want to end a conversation quick, just bring up the phrase plane of the Earth and just.
I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation here on the plane of the Earth.
It's really important. Okay. So then we basically have the episode ending with the Francesca Harry conversation, which they end it right in the middle, which is very rude. And even
it was abrupt.
Can we talk about this? Because it's tough between, and you talked about this in your first podcast, Kirsten, that you accidentally watched episode 3. This series should be meant to be watched as a 4-hour movie or something, right? Like 8 episodes straight, because there is no cutoff point for any episode. They all just bleed into each other where you're like, okay, I guess I'm suddenly halfway through episode 4 and we just got to Lana's announcement. I guess we just sort of made a weird cutoff point at the end of episode 5.
Yeah, I think that's something really strange about this show is just the way time works in it. I don't know if they have Bryce's clock or something, but this is apparently 4 weeks worth of footage, but we just have these 8 episodes. The pacing is weird. The way the episodes end is weird. And I do think it's just made so that people will just keep hitting that next episode button. And then when Netflix asks, are you still there? You're like, I'll tell you when I'm done. And it's when the season is done.
It's so strange, though, because like, I guess so. You assume they're there. They've been there for more than 2 weeks, but it seems like. You can't, I'm sure like they can't have been there for longer than a week, if that, right? Well, but apparently they're more than halfway through their time.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. But apparently they're like 3 weeks in at this point based on, you know, the time frame we've been given by the previous few episodes. So it's just really confusing and weird. But that's the like beauty of edited television, is that we don't need to know really how long everything takes. Whereas with a show like Love Island, you get 5 episodes a week and it's airing live. And so you really get like the day to day of like people actually falling for each other in a way that you just can't in this accelerated timeline. But it's something that, as Haley said, is a lot easier to digest.
Yeah, there's less content to sort of wrap your head around.
I also wonder how much is left on the cutting room floor, and that like these people provide less entertaining television than maybe initially expected with this premise. And a lot of it was just them sort of like walking around sexually frustrated. And they're like, we can cut around this. We can maybe it was scheduled for like 10 episodes. And they said we can work 8 quality episodes.
Well, and I respect that rather than making more. That would just be worse. So basically with Harry and Francesca, Francesca wants them to have, you know, second chance and be back together. But Harry is very in his feelings about all of the stuff that happened with Kells, which I think he kind of should be, because I don't think she would have broken up with Kells if Kells had slept with her in the shower.
That's actually a great point, because I feel like maybe she would have anyway. She would have been like done with him and moved on.
Well, and that's why in the beginning of episode 6, like, you see Harry really come to her with, like, his own itemized bill. You know, like, these are the things you need to do. Because, yeah, she was coming to him admittedly for a second chance. And it's because, you know, she's kind of coming with her tail between her legs of, like, another guy and it didn't necessarily work. And so she doesn't want to come across like she's settling for Harry, but it kind of is on paper.
Yeah, and that's when we find out that Harry didn't want to look weak, and he's having trouble forgiving her as a result, and they end the episode and come back to Harry saying that she needs to be committed to him, she needs to communicate with him, and they're not going to break the rules, which is very different from the Harry of...
Yeah, he does a complete change. That's why you were saying, and I think maybe the second episode you did, that you hated Harry Kirsten. You were like, out on him, done. And I was just like, but the Harry in episode 6 is not the Harry from the beginning. He's like all of a sudden like this sweet, nice guy.
For like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like it's like a completely different like person. It's wild.
Yeah, I'm still not crazy about him. Like I feel like he had to be upset, but I didn't like how he expressed it. And he kind of came in like, this is the way it's going to be. And I'm making the rules and we're going to follow them. And I just thought that was kind of annoying. Haley, how do you feel about Harry and Francesca?
I'm happy that they can show some growth in that they're both admitting that they're wrong and where they kind of messed up. I didn't like that Harry was trying to be like, well, you were the one who messed up. Where it's like, Harry, she probably wouldn't have hooked up with Kells if you didn't lie about like her being the one to kiss you so they lost the money or whatever. I don't know, they just probably shouldn't be together, but I'm sure they're going to be.
Yeah, I'm looking very forward to finishing the series so that I can look everyone up on social media and see what the relationship statuses are like, because I guess they're starting to post all of that stuff.
They are, yeah. They had like a bunch of articles about the finale today that I had to like quickly X out of my like browser so I don't get spoiled.
Well, I guess, yeah, because you would think ordinarily like, oh, it's fine. But now that we know that apparently people can leave.
Yeah, they can just up and go. I'm done. See ya.
Yeah, they say, you know what? I've grown enough. I'm leaving. And I've made that decision. Lana did not make it for me.
And as soon as someone mentions growth, you hear Bryce in the corner. Whoa, big guy. Stop it.
Well, and that's when you also get David talking in his sleep about personal growth.
Mm-hmm. It's weird, though, because I think we've all, you know, had our experiences with sleep talking. But do any of us like gesticulate in our sleep? Because it looked like David was legitimately carrying on his half of the conversation, including body language.
Yeah, he was like moving his arms and stuff. I imagine we do that.
Yeah, I've been told that, like, I've had situations when I was a kid, I used to sleepwalk and sleep talk a lot. And I would like come downstairs.
My sister did too.
I would have a full conversation with my mom about like the plans for the next day and what was going to happen. And then my mom would be waking me up the next morning like, Kirsten, like, we gotta go. Like, we're supposed to be doing this. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? She'd be like, we had a whole conversation last night. And I'd be like, I was asleep. Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, no, I was truly terrifying. Like, at one point, when we moved to a new house, my mom woke up to me just, like, looking down at her in my sleep.
My sister used to do that. So we had to share a room. And I was on the top bunk. And one day, one night, I just woke up. And she was, like, peering over at me. Oh, and she was just, like, humming. Ah. It was so scary.
Oh my God.
I slept in my parents' room for 3 nights.
Yeah, I would too.
She was going
to
kill
me. One of my mom's favorite stories to tell is the time I slept bathed. She woke up to find me in the bath completely asleep. And like,
that's yeah, really
she
scary.
Was like not that happy. Is dangerous. Like, well, obviously, like, it was not my fault, but she like was like, oh, okay, great. Like, she saw me in the bath and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, well, you told me to get in the bath. And she was like, yikes. She was very worried for a while after that.
Also, what is your mind telling you at that point? Like, what's it trying to say? Like, you get in the bath. I don't care if you're asleep or awake. You're getting in the bath.
Wild.
I mean, Haley almost died that night. Like, I think a demon tried to kill her.
Totally.
That is so scary. Yeah. I can't even imagine. Well,
here's a question, though. Can they do stuff and then afterwards say, I was sleepwalking?
I think that's a little rapey.
So devious. It's a little rapey, yeah.
I do think that if they were going to try and pull that off, they would have had a conversation about it, which would then expose their plan and they wouldn't be able to get away with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, these people are not capable of subterfuge. The Glade air freshener that is Lana is listening.
I still think that, you know, Rob was right when he said the best thing to do would be to just put a blanket over Lana. She can't see them. They can't see her. And then they could just do what they want.
Right. But what about the other cameras?
Well, none of these people are that smart, obviously.
That's true. That is true.
Then we get a really funny scene of Bryce talking to the others about how Chloe wishes he had banter, but he doesn't.
Yeah, this is the banter geezer conversation.
And it's just like he doesn't really seem to know what it is.
Yeah.
And I was laughing so hard at this because I haven't said it enough on this podcast. Bryce is the worst.
Yes, correct.
He
continue.
Bryce reminds me of someone, and I realized it today. He reminds me of Uncle Joey from Full House.
Joey Gladstone.
Yeah, that's an apt comparison, I think.
Oh wait, so he had a puppet named Mr. Woodchuck. Charon's thing is called Woody Woodpecker.
I feel like you need to put away the red thread and your conspiracy board. That's You're way well, too obsessed with this Woody Woodpecker.
Definitely.
Well, this is also the moment that really got to me here, everybody. Matthew is wearing probably one of my least favorite pieces of clothing in the world, which is that tank top that's like super ripped down the sides. That basically looks like you cut the sleeves off a t-shirt. I hate those.
Why? Because it doesn't actually cover any of your body whatsoever.
It has no purpose. It has no purpose. And also the collar looks like it's cut off a t-shirt. It doesn't make any sense as a garment whatsoever.
Okay, so my counterpoint is that they're very comfortable for working out in. And sometimes, like as a woman in a gym, you're not allowed to just wear your sports bra because of the patriarchy.
Agreed. They're okay for women, not for men.
Yeah,
we have the sports bra underneath it, so it's like it's okay that it has that giant gap. Like I have a Star Wars one that looks like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think for guys, it's more so just like an opportunity to just like be to basically have like a little tunic on you that doesn't cover up anything.
Mike has some of these like very, very strange pet peeves when it comes to like fashion. Like, he has a very adverse reaction to people with, like, heavy bangs. Like, he gets...
Is that fashion, though, or is it hair?
It's, like, another thing. That's it's
part
like
of their style.
Thing. Yeah, he gets, like, very upset, and like he's upset right now.
Well, I'm really glad that Mike didn't know me when I had a very heavy bang for several years. It was my thing for a long time.
Well,
thank God I'm not doing that anytime soon.
I would not have hated you. I think there are few people in the world that can pull it off. Megan Z is someone who can absolutely pull it off. But I think for the most part, it's your forehead should be out there for a reason. You know, your eyebrows were blessed to have them. Let me see them.
So funny.
Well, it's, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul and your eyebrows are the curtains. So I can get behind that.
So many tangents. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm really going to apologize right now to anyone listening to this. I don't know if this is entertaining or not, but we're trying really hard.
Listen, we're all sleep talking right now. That's why this podcast is so nonsense.
Yes, exactly. So then this is when we find out Haley is gone.
Yep.
Because they just
like 10 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, they just didn't show us.
They had to rewind genius style and show us what actually... You would fully admit, like, oh, yeah, we were so busy concentrating on Harry and Francesca, we didn't show you the person who got booted from the show.
And yeah, the way that Haley... Like, Haley had mentioned she wanted to leave, which is fine. But Lana lights up and is like, Haley, you haven't grown. Like, you're having a positive impact on the group? Failed. Growing as a person? Failed. You've got
to
go.
She's so mean to her. Like, total mean girl her.
Like, so rude. And Haley leaves with the last iconic moment of, yes. Except Francesca, you're all lame. Bye, bitches. Yep.
And then she walks straight to Coachella.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it could have been Stagecoach.
So true.
When did this film, do you know?
This filmed about a year ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is what I have gleaned.
So maybe, I mean, she would have missed out like on the tail end of spring break, but I'm sure in Florida, it's one big spring break.
She can go to the beach now.
I'm pretty sure she probably already has gone to the beach. And as much as I'm not stanning Haley anymore, I'm pretty worried about her well-being in Florida right now with how dumb she is. Yeah. So, pray for her safety, I guess.
But this is still crazy. Like, if you're comparing this to other love-based reality shows, like a Love Island, like imagine on Love Island if somebody wasn't able to find their match and the show is just like, well, get out. You're not doing a good enough job at this.
Yeah, like the show, like on Love Island, they would at least wait until like a recoupling and then it would be like, okay, well, nobody likes you, so you have to go.
Or they would like wait till somebody votes them off on another show, you know? So the fact that Lana just like straight up said bye is kind of crazy.
Well, I know that bitch.
I mean, Haley said last episode that like she wouldn't mind going. I wonder maybe it was like a discussion with the producers of like, I want to quit. And they're like, don't quit. Like, we'll just sort of talk it up like it's an elimination. And then, of course, Matthew ruins it all by quitting later on in the episode anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you think more people are going to get eliminated in the next two episodes, or is it just going to be the...
I mean, maybe. Nobody else is... Maybe after that was kind of like a scare tactic. Like, you guys got to try. Like, put in some effort, or you're going to be like Haley. Just like a warning.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's the thing as well. It's like, again, it's weirdly authoritarian on Lana's part to be like, you need to follow these rules, and if you don't, you're going to miss out at your chance at rent money.
Well, yeah, and they can't live rent free at the resort anymore. So then we get the new arrivals coming in, and these ones have already been told the rules. So thankfully, we don't have to see them learn, because it's seeing the light go out of people's eyes is like funny when it's Bryce, but maybe not so much when it's like three new people that you could maybe like. I don't know. So
but it's an incredible entrance, though. Like, they're on the boat that's getting slowly closer. It's just...
Yeah, they're on Bryce's
epic
boat.
What does it need to be? Yeah, they might be on Bryce's boat.
Yeah, they came in. It actually really reminded me Love Island US. Last year did a twist with the Love Liner with three new people coming in. And it reminded me of when the Love Liner arrived. And I remember being very excited for that. And so I was equally excited for these new ones. So we got Lydia and Corey, who are both from the same town.
Did they apply together?
I don't know, but they're both. It was.
Is it town or is it like a.
Or same like general region.
Like I was.
I didn't look it up. I meant to look it up, and then I didn't because
it's a city. It's a city. I was wondering if, because like Essex is an area.
Yeah, it's a city.
Yeah.
What is it? I didn't even hear it.
They were in Portsmouth.
Oh. Yes.
It's considered to be home of the Royal Navy, and it's the most densely populated city.
Oh, maybe that's where they got the boat from.
No, they got that from Bryce, obviously.
Can you imagine boating from the UK to Mexico?
That truly can't imagine anything more.
Just to appear on a reality show where you can't have sex.
Don't they have cruises from the UK to Mexico?
I mean, maybe.
I feel like a cruise is very different, though.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But that's like a very long distance.
It is a very long distance.
So what percentage of our UK friends here on the show have actually applied for Love Island? I'm going with 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean these people on the...
I was going to say, like, us?
No,
I'm not from the UK. And
then I was thinking about the listeners. I'm like, I don't know if they're really the type either.
Yeah, no, 100% of the UK contestants on this show applied to Love Island, or at the very least applied to Too Hot to Handle thinking it was Love Island.
Yeah, because of the description, for sure.
But yeah, so... Lydia comes in. She's like excited because she loves sex. Corey comes in and Chloe immediately is like, oh my God, nobody tell the new guy that I'm not smart, which I thought was very funny. I love her.
She's pretty good.
And she calls him a sex god.
I mean,
also, she's just like completely forgets about Bryce. It's just like,
well, Bryce is not a sex god.
Go to him immediately.
And Bryce is right there and she doesn't put together, I guess, because she still hasn't broken up with him. Then we get Madison, who is from California, and she says, I'm here for one thing and one thing only, the men. So I think that these three are basically a production plant to make things more difficult for the main cast.
Yeah. Makes sense.
They have no intention to follow the rules.
I had a question, and I put this on my notes at this point. Angela and I had a bit of discussion, but I would love some input from the two of you.
Okay.
So Francesca in particular looks like she has a tan from, like, if you put on, like, scuba goggles. The top half of her face is much, much lighter than the rest of her face.
I had no idea what Mike was just going to say.
And I was so confused. Like, is it a use of highlighter? Is it, like, was it the way she tanned?
She uses a very thick concealer. And it's a lot lighter than her skin tone. It's used for like highlighting, yes, but it is not a highlighter.
Yeah, it's normally people will conceal their under eye area using a slightly lighter color than the rest of their foundation because it does also have a highlighting effect. And Francesca is definitely putting on her makeup by making a giant triangle under her eyes and blending that out with a beauty blender.
She is using shape tape 100%.
Yep, 100%. And then there's also, like, I'm sure that she has developed a bit of a tan being in Mexico this long, and her concealer is a little bit too light compared to that, plus sunglasses, as Angela said.
That is why you bring your summer concealer on vacation with you. Gotta think ahead.
See, I just truly, I'm so white that even if I get...
I was just gonna say, you could definitely be part of the Bloom family.
Like, I am... so light that like I never have to use anything else.
I have like one thing that is my concealer and makeup because it's all the same.
I got my foundation in NC20 and my concealer in NW20. They blend together to make a neutral and I never have to use anything darker, even if I am tan, because I can just use a little bronzer. Because I'm so white.
Makeup corner.
Yeah, anyway,
I've been truly delighted by this conversation.
Now you guys know a little bit more about how people do makeup.
You're welcome.
Well, David has fallen for Lydia's eyes, and I can imagine that's because she uses good concealer.
No, Lydia actually does have really striking eyes, which I... thought he was being kind of like full of it, but I looked up at the TV and was like, oh yeah, no, she has nice eyes.
Well, and I'm just so used to everyone commenting on Chloe's eyes that I was like, oh,
which again, like, someone else? I feel like Lydia actually has striking eyes, whereas Chloe just, she has, yes, pretty eyes.
I think Chloe has like fire in her eyes. Maybe well, that's maybe, what they're talking
maybe we're
about.
Missing it.
I think it's just that Chloe has the nicest eyelash extensions. Because they're like long and dramatic, but not like too much. Like some people get them and it's too much. I don't know. Anyways, again, more things that the listeners don't care about, but I'm having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
What I really liked here is Francesca says, and I quote, "Hi, nice to meet you. By the way, don't try because I'll fucking kill you."
Yes.
And that's a direct quote.
I do stand that kind of behavior on these shows. With just like wild attachment. Like very territorial.
She's the Canadian on the cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy because you think like she'd be like the Nicole, like the most, like, very down-to-earth, most polite person. And it turns out, no.
She feisty.
Exactly. So, we find out Lydia's type is tall with good teeth. So, David checks her boxes. Corey just wants to have fun, and he self-describes as a geezer. And Madison doesn't even have a type. She wants to connect spiritually and intellectually. And Matt Jesus is immediately so obsessed.
And I love how they put on this like weird klezmer music as it like focuses on him, like, my spiritual. That's Matthew's thing.
Yeah, it seemed like it was really going to work out until they have a conversation.
Yeah, and she cannot stand him.
And he immediately is unbearable. She's like, yeah, like, you know, if I like someone, I want to see where it goes. And he's like, it's about fight or flight or like going with the
flow. A bird can't fly if he's holding on to a branch.
I don't even know if that's actually a quote or not, because it sounds
No, he literally said, like, I always like to say a bird can't fly if you hold onto a branch. It's like, well, now I understand why you're not that great with people, Matthew, if you're trying to start off conversations with that little idiom.
He also just would not let her talk. Like, she would start and he'd be like, and blah, 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 blah. And she was like, oh.
He would, okay. And then he'd also be like, what I really like about this group is everyone listens to what I say. Like, they really come to me to give advice. That's why I really like these people.
Yeah, he's unbearable, but remember, he's super deep. He thinks about everything all the time, so he has a lot to say.
He's like Jesus.
Like Jesus. Chloe is talking about how her and Corey have a lot in common, including that neither of them are smart, which she's a self-aware icon.
I love it. And what did you think of like the Netflix internal monologue machine? It felt very like Blind Date to me.
Yeah.
You know, like a little schlocky like gag that they put in there to sort of liven up the scene.
I just love everything about them. Haley, how do you feel about Chloe and Corey as a couple?
I feel like they are a good match for each other. They seem to be on the same level of a lot of aspects of themselves.
You're so diplomatic.
I'm a Libra.
Yeah, that's true. You see both sides.
Balance.
She gets it. So then I gotta admit, I zoned out a little bit for a second, and then Francesca and Harry were getting a private suite, so I can't imagine anything important happened between those moments.
Yeah, there was sort of like a weird thing where like they did this thing a couple times where like they kissed. It happened with Chloe and Bryce too, and like Lana didn't mention it, so I guess like it's just commonplace, like now that we know what the penalty is, we can sort of skip through Lana reporting the crimes to everybody else. And the same thing happened with Harry and Francesca before they go to the suite and make things much, much worse.
Yeah, this is another horrifying moment where Harry calls his own penis Big Dog.
Oh my God.
Didn't catch that one. I must have missed Big Dog.
I wish I had, but it is gross. my burden to bear that I will always notice what these people say about their genitalia.
I think, like, as a rule of thumb, and maybe this is my own personal proclivities, don't name it off of like a living creature.
Don't name it.
I think don't name it. And if you do name it, don't tell anyone that you have named it. I remember when I was an RA, one of my coworkers.
I was an RA too.
Told us.
Oh, gosh. I knew it. I
really love that for us.
Soulmates.
One of my coworkers told us when we had like a truth or dare as a team that he had named his genitalia The Truth.
Oh my God.
Because it's so funny because you can say things like, you can't handle the truth. The truth hurts.
Truth is going to get you.
I'm upset.
It's been something that's horrified me for the last,
that's rough. I've never
seven
that. Thank
years.
You.
So now you can all be haunted like that too. And hopefully, none
It'll
of
take
my
the haunting away from you.
Hopefully, none of my coworkers from that time are listening to know that I've exposed that secret.
Do you think he would like? So he would want to play like truth or dare, but like always like waggle his eyebrows every time he mentioned it.
Like, I hate all of this.
I mean, the thing is it was very surprising because it wasn't the type of guy that you would expect this from. Like he
also
was like
not really the place to make that kind of a statement.
Well, no, it was like
among your fellow RAs.
Well, no, so it was all of the RAs from our team. So there was 10 of us.
Right,
we went on like a retreat to the mountains.
Yes.
And so we were all just like getting drunk in a cabin.
Okay.
When this came out. Or it maybe came out when we were driving home the next day.
Ooh.
But
fun fact, RA retreats are where I used to talk in my sleep the most.
So you were exposing the truth.
Yep.
No. Anyways, I regret telling everyone about this, but
no, this has made my night hearing this. Because that is absolutely incredible.
Mike, I will send you a picture later of the guy so you can see just how
good. Don't send me a picture of a certain part of the don't send me a picture of the truth.
But don't worry, I wouldn't have access to that even if I wanted it, which I do not. Anyways, so they decide they're not going to break the rules. They're gonna go into the private room and they're gonna just get to know each other and it's gonna be fine.
Sure.
Did you believe this, Haley? Did you believe that they would be chased for the night?
Oh my God, not even for like half of a millisecond.
I liked the minute they left, Nicole is like getting ready for bed and she's like, yep, they're definitely gonna do it.
Yeah, and, no, she knew.
And they do, like the second they're in the room, they're like on each other.
Yeah, like he's still saying like, nope, we're gonna hold off here. And then she's literally sitting on top of him. He's like, oh, no, no money wasted tonight. And then he literally says at one point, fuck money, grabs her ass, and they go from there.
Yeah, I mean, what was he to do? He's been waiting the whole time for this.
It's what he wanted literally from day one. So you're right.
From day one.
The best part
But then briefly for not during today, and then briefly once more once he came to his senses.
He still wanted it. He was just being more aggressive about it. Yeah.
He was trying to grow as a person. Okay. I like we get a scene where Kells, the accountant, is reacting to them going into the private room. And he's so mad. And it's because they're definitely going to blow money, but also he's clearly very jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel bad for him a little bit, but I don't know. I feel he's going to be fine in this life. He'll have other women.
Well, I do wonder, you know, when we get to the Matthew stuff, like, he and Matthew seem to be the most like similar minded when it came to handling the money stuff. Do you think there's a non-zero chance that Kells walks as well at some point being like, okay, I'm not going to make any money from this because of stuff that I, like he says here, like I'm paying for a room that I didn't even use. Is there a certain point where he just packs it up and decides to go?
So I think that the only way he would reach that point is if the bank hit $0.
Yeah, that seems fair. I agree with that.
Do you think they'd start
like,
owing
he
money?
Wants money.
Like if,
well, and that's
hilarious.
Rob and I discussed that, and we thought, like, yeah, they're definitely going to end up just owing money at the end of it.
Or do you think they get to $0 and the show just kicks them out, like they did with Haley? Like Lana comes on and is just like, we can't afford you. Like you can't afford to stay here anymore. Please leave immediately. Go fly back home.
Well, I mean, that could happen. I also. Maybe that's why they condensed all of the timeline so much, because they're about to run out of money and then the show just ends.
That would be very funny.
That's, yeah, it's definitely possible. I do like the next morning when Francesca's like, we're poor now for sure, because I think they also don't know how the money gets taken out. So they think Harry, they spent all $50,000.
But these people are so ridiculous. Because Harry and Francesca are like, yeah, we definitely have sex. And everyone's like, aw, cute.
Yeah, they were like, this is the same thing that would happen with Sharonda before, because they were all like, oh yeah, they're so cute together. And then Lana says, you lost $16,000, and they're like, we hate them. They're the worst. How could they even think about doing that? It's very mixed messaging.
Yeah, it's like they have the moments where they're really excited about their friends having good relationships, but then when they find out the financial repercussions, they're like, oh no, I'm not a fan. You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, it's like they put their hands on the stove and forget every time that the stove is hot, despite being told repeatedly, stop, you're burning your hand, please stop doing that. And there's going to be a charred remains of a finger by the end of the series.
Very cool.
Okay. So then they do the, the Summer Nights thing again.
Okay.
I don't know what else I'm supposed to say to someone.
No, that was it.
You win my factory. You guessed the right response to my weird burned finger metaphor.
I don't even know. Like, I feel like we're going to have to pay for therapy for the listeners now, and we can't afford that. So yeah, this is when they do like the Summer Nights thing again, and David asks Harry how long he lasted, which is, I like, Mike, is this amazing. A thing men do?
No.
I was so just traumatized.
I think that may be a thing that young men do, like teens, you know, like.
Well, I wonder if this was more so like a question out of like just like interest. Like, I'm sure none of these people have gone more than, I'll be conservative, 36 hours without sex at any point in time. So they could probably be like, oh, I wonder what that experience is like. Like, I'm genuinely interested, Harry. You haven't had sex for about 4 days. How long, or apparently 3 weeks. How long did you last for?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And that does.
Sure.
Does add up with these people. Then we finally get Chloe breaking up with Bryce. And a few things to key here. He calls her baby girl, which,
yeah, he does do that. That was a rough one.
Like, my mom called me baby girl, and I was like, mom, no. And this is a man saying it to a romantic interest, so I just don't say that, guys. And then she breaks up with him in the nicest way. I wrote down exactly what she said. So she says, I just wanted to say you're such a gentleman. I know you're a really nice guy, but the thing is, I don't normally go for nice guys. So maybe what I want and what I need are two different things. And then she brings up that she has clicked with Corey. She doesn't know if it's romantic or just physical, but she wants to explore it. And Bryce in this moment is like pretty cool. But then immediately cuts to confessional where he's like,
yeah,
oh, well, she'll see I was the better option because she really is. He really is the R/ nice guy, like Puya queued up earlier this week. And so thankfully that's over. It didn't happen in a hammock again. So I guess she's learning.
It's just, I mean, again, Bryce is just like in one ear and out the other with this guy of like, okay, yeah, stop talking so I can think about something else right now. And this thing is not coming to an end anytime soon. I haven't seen the last two episodes, but I feel like Bryce is going to, like, he's going to leave on Chloe's arm and he's going to bankrupt the group or die trying.
But, like, logistically, if you're Chloe, wouldn't you want to go for the guy who, A, isn't quite as weird, and B, lives in the country you live in?
Oh, 100%. It makes total sense for her. And it seems like they have just much better chemistry. Like, in the scenes with Chloe and Corey, it really seems very electric between them.
And he doesn't live on a boat.
Or call her baby girl.
Yeah, so she's made the right choice here, I think. Another thing too, just to say now, these episodes, like, the flow of how things happened was just so insane. I meant, like, before this started, I meant to divide my notes up just by storyline to just do it like that. But I'm lazy and I didn't do that. So it just kind of gives you guys the idea of how hectic it is to watch this show, because it's wild. Because then we immediately go into the Lana ceremony where she exposes that Harry and Francesca had sex. And that it cost $20,000.
Oh my God.
Ugh, woof.
So in theory, with that, like, charge, cumulatively, they would have only been able to have sex 5 times in the season if they wanted to get any money.
Well, no, if they had sex 5 times in the season, they would have $0 left.
Right. I mean, I guess I meant that like they'd have to have, if they had sex 5 times, then that's it. And that's like how many times some of these people have sex in like a night. So I can imagine that like this is big, big stakes. I mean, I know you and Rob are talking about like, was 3K a kiss too much? I think we are definitively saying yes after that, because this is just such a steep price. This is very much guaranteed to screw these people.
Yeah, I think that Netflix never intended to pay them anything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, $100,000 is not that much to begin with for Netflix. So, yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's how I feel. Harry says that's a steal compared to how much actually happened last night.
Aw, so cute. Oh, so sweet.
What a kind and tender man he is.
He's the best.
You're worth $20,000, honey.
Oh, my God. And so this is when Matthew gets up and says he's going to go home because he's grown a lot, but also because he doesn't have any emotional connections. So he left because nobody liked him. And he calls himself a whole new Matthew. He's not going to have sex without a connection. And he's going to make you love him.
Yeah. Okay.
I also love his reason by being like, the best way for a teacher to teach something is to remove himself from the equation. Like, stop putting yourself above these people. You're not their teacher. Also, that's not good advice for a teacher.
Can you imagine if teachers just left the classroom and said, hey, you guys figure it out. I've grown enough.
Exactly. Listen, you can come find me at like brand new Mr. Matthews in the cafeteria, but for now the best way is for me to remove myself from the classroom and have you teach yourselves. That's how you're really gonna learn.
It's just I hate this guy so much.
Yeah, he's rough for me. I can't really handle him.
I wonder if he got like, I don't know, some sort of like That's So Raven flash that he felt there was someone else for him out there, because I'd like to believe maybe this will still happen in the here and now that he and Nora are perfect for each other.
Nora said he's too young.
How? Oh, yeah, he's what, 20?
He was 30, right?
Yeah, Nora said he's teenage.
Yeah, Nora said that's like a snack for her, like a little snack.
Well, I hope she enjoys it then.
I don't think she's going to pursue him, but maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think she should. I think she deserves
it. She was entranced with him.
I know.
Where is he from anyway? Like the desert?
I'm assuming that he lives in. Oh, he's from Colorado.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I don't think that's where he lives. But I remember because I wrote in my notes on the first episode, like Colorado hippie or something when he walked in. He came in looking so gross. So then we end the episode with the first of all, you get Chloe talking to Nicole about how she wants to break the rules with Corey. And Nicole encourages her like a good friend would. And then we get the scene of, you know, Chloe and Corey are having a little banter and then they make out and the episode ends and we don't know how far they go, and we won't until the last batch of episodes.
I mean, they were out in public, so I hope for the sake of everyone else, it was not very far. It was 3K worth.
I mean, with these people, who knows what they're going to do?
Would they have, I mean, if they consort with multiple partners, do they get paid like per person or is it one lump sum?
I think it depends on this, if it's one session.
Okay, so they could break this in a way, right? Like, could they be like, okay, like we're all super horny, right? If we just have one big orgy in the middle of the living room, like, we can only get charged 20K max. Because, like, it's going to be tough to distinguish limbs from limbs.
We need to.
I don't want to explore this any further. So that brings us to the end of our two episodes of episodes 5 and 6. Haley, do you have any final thoughts on these two episodes?
Not really. I'm just excited to see what happens next.
Me too. Angela, what about you?
Yeah, no, I'm also intrigued. I think that I mostly only care about Chloe at this point, but either way, I like to listen to her. So
Okay. Fun.
Okay, and Mike has lost his privilege to give his final thoughts. So we will we'll go through.
Do you have to pay by like partners that you get with, or if they
stop.
Just
enough? Anyways, Angela, you can come quarantine with me. It's fine.
Actually, that sounds like an amazing vacation.
from me?
No, well, a little bit. No, I love you. From our infant son, mostly, who I also love, but you know.
I mean, infants are hard, so I think that's fair.
You're doing an amazing job. $20,000 worth.
Thanks.
So then we do have a couple of questions from the Rob Has Awesome Patrons Facebook group. So we will go through those. Mel Holst, who is a wonderful live feed updater, says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how ironic is trying to fix issues caused by toxic masculinity How ironic is it to stab the posters with swords to fix toxic masculinity?
That is pretty funny. I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it is phallic. I guess they made me think, like, let's like overexert ourselves and like get it all out, get the testosterone in the air so then it can sort of disappear. But yeah, it definitely is the most like, especially like 300 style, like screaming at the top of your lungs while doing it.
Incredible. Randy Newble asked, why did Jesus forsake us?
You're a week late on that, Randy.
I do like when Matthew Jesus left, when the voiceover lady is like, yeah, but he'll probably be back on Sunday. Classic Jesus.
Classic Jesus.
And now, I mean, you said, Kirsten, that he ended up playing Jesus in a movie. Otherwise, I wonder how he would have felt about like being called Jesus the entire time.
I think he would have loved
having
it.
A nickname Jesus.
I mean, he called himself Jesus. Do you think that was marketing for his movie?
No.
How old is that movie?
I think he just thinks of himself as like a deity. He thinks he's that amazing.
Gross. You're right. You're probably right. According to Nikki Philpart, Bryce has his own Wikipedia page that is very extensive.
Okay. Mike just like went straight to the Google Chrome.
What's his last name?
I don't know. I didn't want to look it up because I didn't want to get spoilers.
Okay. I'm just going to type in Bryce Too Hot to Handle. Let's see what the internet provides here. Bryce Bryce David Hirschberg is an American film director, screenwriter, producer, and actor. In 2017, his first feature-length film, Counterfeiters, won multiple international awards, including Best Feature Narrative at the Wolves Independent International Film Awards in Lithuania.
Gotta go.
Yikes. Anyways, so he definitely wrote that himself, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Hirschberg lives on his boat in Marina del Rey, California, where most of the feature film Counterfeiters takes place.
Oh my god, no.
He filmed his award-winning movie on his boat.
I mean, we don't know about those awards anyways.
It's a Lithuanian Independent Film Award, so no.
Yeah, I'm not super impressed by that, to be honest. So with the other questions that I have pulled, we kind of addressed them as we went along the way, so thank you to everyone who submitted questions this week. And remember, if you want to get those questions in, gotta become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast and get access to that incredible community. So that wraps it up for these two episodes. So, Haley, where can people find you?
Gosh darn it. You can find me all over here. There's internet. You can listen to the dulcet tones of my voice twice a week. 3 to 4 times this week. What lucky gals you are. Where can you find me? What's it called? The Bachelor Show I'm podcasting about. That's happening. Top Chef I'm podcasting about with Michael here. We have a great time doing that. You can check out my Twitter and Instagram at @eatstrong_. And you can check out my blog, strongtix.ca.
Okay, perfect. Angela, where can people find you?
Find me where can they find me
at Ange Pelagi on
Twitter. That's it, on Twitter and Instagram, and also in the hole that I will dig for myself, which is a grave.
Oh,
my
no.
God. Well,
gosh, quarantine has done a lot to me.
That was really dark, and I just want to say,
you just
Angela,
literally
we
said
love
you can
you.
Find me on Twitter, Instagram, or my grave.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm a little tired.
No,
none of us are doing
incredible.
Well.
This is gonna be interesting sleep talking tonight. I can already tell.
I will need you guys to fill me in on what happens. And Mike, where can people find you?
On Twitter at a Mike Bloom type. I'm doing a bunch of stuff. Talking with Haley about Top Chef
that's
every
me.
Week. That's Haley. Lost, Survivor, writing about Survivor as well. It's all out there on the interwebs. I also want to read the synopsis for Counterfeiters.
Just stuck it right in there, Bloom.
The movie that Bryce directed in, produced, wrote, and starred in was about a young man, Bridger, who creates a do-it-yourself method of counterfeiting money to save his dying mother. So essentially, it's really a new Breaking Bad for a new generation.
Breaking Bad is from this generation.
Well, it's a new generation okay. now. This is for the Gen Zs.
This is for Asher.
This is the Breaking Bad for our son.
I just hope that by the time Asher's old enough to understand it, there's like some higher quality content for him than Counterfeiters.
Or some just real, real good filters.
Yeah, for sure. So if people are interested in seeing more of what I'm up to, they can follow me on social media at Kirsten Said What, twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And on Friday, April 24th, there will be a live roundtable on the final two episodes of Too Hot to Handle, where I will be joined by Haley Strong, who you've heard from today.
Again, that is me.
That is her, as well as Puya Zanvakili and Ooh. Rob Sesternino, which will be live at 9 Eastern on Friday, April 24th, if you want to check
that birthday. Out.
Yeah, it's Angela's birthday.
Happy birthday, Angela, Taurus Queen. And make sure to follow all the other great podcasts on the Reality TV Wrap Up Speed. Thank you for listening, and we will see you for the roundtable update tomorrow. Bye.